Welcome to Advanced Biblical Foundations. In this particular lesson, I want to look at a passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 16. And there's so much here that I really hope I can capture it all for us. But I really believe that Jesus is revealing to us what is important. Not only was it important for that day and time, but it's really important for us today. And so I want to pray and just ask God to help us as we begin this passage of Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Father, we love you and bless you. We ask you to help us. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to help us to capture everything that you're wanting us to hear. We invite you to lead us and guide us and direct us and to teach us. And we love you and we give you ourselves in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Well, some say John the Baptist." See, they thought maybe John the Baptist had been resurrected. They thought maybe it was Elijah, or maybe Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Well, Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Now, I'm going to stop there and make comments again as we walk through this scripture. So Jesus asked them, he goes, "Guys, you've heard all the stories. Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say this, and some say that, and some say that." But he said, "But who do you say that I am?" And that's where Peter says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "You're right, Peter. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father has revealed this to you in heaven." And this is where everything really begins, by a revelation of who Jesus is to you. It's one thing for who is he to me, who is he to you, who is he to somebody else. But personally, and this is what Jesus is getting at, who am I to you? And why this is so important is because the revelation, I'll say it that way, the revelation, not just information, but the revelation that you have about Jesus Christ determines how you live. It determines how you think. It determines how you act. It determines how you believe. It determines everything. If we're to pray to Father and you don't have a good understanding of who he is, you'll have a hard time praying. Who is Jesus to you? Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? Is he the King of Kings? Is he the Lord of Lords? He actually is. But the reality is he your provider? Is he your healer? Is he your deliverer? That revelation, who is he? Who is he to you? Now, you have to answer that question because Jesus is always saying, "Who am I to you?" Not about what somebody else says, not about what your parents said, not about what your children said, friends said, your mate. No, who is Jesus to you? How you answer that question will determine really everything in your life. And so from the beginning, that's why he's saying this is so important. You know, flesh and blood didn't reveal this, but this revelation will absolutely change your life. And so he said, "Simon, you're blessed." And then verse 18 is, "Say to you, and upon Peter and on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Now, let me just stop there a second. So it's a play of words, but the truth is that the church that Jesus is building, by the way, it says his church, he's building it, is built upon the revelation of who he is. That is really what he's saying here. And basically, he goes on to say that the gates of hell will not prevail against what? His church, the church that he is raising up. He said, it's his church. Jesus is building his church. Now, I want to stop and talk about church. The word church is ekklesia. That word, if you go look it up in the Greek, was a word that had been used for hundreds of years. The Greeks used that word because it represented something to them. The Romans had adopted that word. Now, that's a secular word. That is not a religious word. In fact, the word actually means called out to represent. It would be more closely related to our city council or our legislative body, whatever it may be in your wherever you live. But the reality is, he could have said, I'm going to build my synagogue. I'm going to build my tabernacle. I'm going to build my temple. I'm going to whatever. But he didn't. He did not use a religious term. He used a secular term. And why? Because it's extremely important, because what we've done is that we have defined church as a building that we attend. And what it has done is it's caused us to, I go to church. Now, Jesus's church or people, whoever revelation of who he is, that then we're going to see it here in a minute, but we are the people called out of darkness who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, who are there now representatives of him on earth. I mean, go on. It says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church that he's building. Why? Because the church has called out ones that have a revelation of who he is, they'll represent him. Now, gates don't attack. What are the gates of hell? Well, that's where the spiritual forces of darkness and the principalities and powers, where they sit, they control. Today, there are many, we talk about the seven mountains, but there's lots of dominion areas in the world and the evil ones controlling that. Well, the church that Jesus is building are supposed to storm the gates of hell. Said they will not prevail against it. We're supposed to go, how do I know that? Next verse. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. See, the reality is that the church that Jesus is building are people called out of darkness who have a relationship with him, who have a revelation of who he is and a revelation of who they are in him. And we're going to be a people that are representing him on earth. Doing what? Using the keys of the kingdom, which represent authority, to lock and unlock what goes on the earth. Now, bottom line is, I can't do anything that's not already been done in heaven. Jesus said, I only do the will of my Father. I only say what I hear him say, and I don't do anything on my own. I'm here to do his will. So when I'm binding and loosing, it's given to us, there's keys to do what? To go unlock people who have been locked up by the darkness. He has given us keys to lock up things that shouldn't be going around running around. You can picture that in your own mind, but there's all these things that they shouldn't be going on here. We've been given authority. Keys represent authority. If I give you the keys to my car, you've got the right to go use my car. If I give you the keys to my house, you have the right to open the door and go in my house. Whatever the keys are, and he said, I've given to you the keys. Listen to this, in verse 19, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. See, Jesus preached the kingdom. He didn't preach a message of salvation. He preached that the king has come, his rule and reign is with him. Then he demonstrated the kingdom's authority by taking authority over sickness, over disease, over wind, over waves, over food, over sicknesses, demons, whatever. He demonstrated his superiority of his kingdom to every other kingdom that was on the earth. And he's saying to us, he goes, look, put all this together. He's saying, okay, I'm going to build my church. It's his church. His church are people who have a revelation of who Jesus is. It's not about a building, not about a denomination. It's not about going to agreeing to certain doctrine. No, it's everybody who has a relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, my church is built upon revelation of who I am. Then my church, understanding the terminology, you've now entered into agreement with him to represent him on earth. I've given to you authority to represent me here on earth. I want you to go and set the captives free. I want you to go and restrict what I've restricted, and I want you to go release what I have released. Wow! a little different than what we have done in the going to church and attending church. And I'm just as guilty as the rest of us. I'm just saying that what Jesus has planned, by the way, do you realize he only uses the word church in the Gospels two times? It's in Matthew 16, Matthew 18. The rest of the time, it's not mentioned. That's church is mentioned in the New Testament, but not in the Gospels. And so bottom line is, what's his message? It's the kingdom. The kingdom is mentioned over 100 times. The message of the kingdom, what is it? What is it? That there's a king, his name is Jesus, and he's brought his rule and reign to earth. And so all authority in heaven and earth is mine, saith the Lord. Matthew 28, 18. He says it's all. Revelations, he says, I've got the keys of death and Hades in my hand. Nobody else has it. He's given it that everything is under his feet, and therefore it's under our feet. And he's called us, he's called us to represent him. This is what he is saying. So, bottom line is, what revelation do you have of Jesus? Because, I mean, that determines everything. Is he your ticket to heaven? Then that's how you'll live. You'll live back and forth with, I hope I get to heaven kind of a deal. Hope my ticket doesn't wear out. Is he Lord? Then you change the way that you live. Is he king? Is he the eternal one that's overcome everything? Is he the victorious one? The cross represents the greatest victory of all time. And so much of the church is looking for Jesus to come back. I want Jesus to come back too. But that was not his focus. His focus was that we would represent him here. See, the enemy is the one who's trying to get us to not do that. So this passage captures to me the essence of everything that we're wanting to basically share, who we are, what we're supposed to do. He tells us that the church that Jesus is building is supposed to be a victorious, overcoming church, setting the captives free. We represent him. Now, I want to go on, verse 21. After Jesus began to show his disciples, he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised the third day. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. And he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Wow. I read that and I go, you know, sometimes I feel like Peter. I feel like the same thing, because what's happened is that here Peter has this revelation, and all of a sudden, you know, Jesus says, hey, well done. Whoa, Peter, you got it. You got this revelation. That's unbelievable. The others, they didn't say they had it. He got it. And so all of a sudden, just a little bit later, you know, he's telling him, he says, guys, I got to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be killed, raised the third day. Peter says, not going to be on my watch. That's not going to happen. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. I feel like I've done the same thing. I feel like I've got some great revelation of God and then blow it over here. And what he's showing us is that that's pretty much the nature of man. Peter was up and down. But what he said is, you're an offense to me, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. That is the key to what really God's calling us to do. This complete focus about me gets us all. I might be born again, but I know that life doesn't consist of my world. Life consists of really living for others and obviously living for Jesus. He lived for us. He died for us. He took our sin. He died our death. All of it was for us. And he's saying here, we need the revelation of who he is. We need to understand that he's building his church. We need to understand we've been given authority to represent him. We need to understand that it's about the kingdom and not about a particular brand of church or denomination or group. But how it all works is that we have to be mindful of the things of God. It's not about me. And I find myself so much of the time, I'm focused on me. I'm focused on what I like, what I dislike, what I don't like, what I did. And it's really, it's not about me. It's all about him. So Jesus said to his disciples, verse 24, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own life or his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Now, what is he saying there? Well, he's basically saying that if we are going to follow him, we have to deny ourselves. It doesn't mean we don't take care of ourselves. What he's saying is, quit being so focused on you. Focused, that's all about me. Everything's about me. I'm offended because somebody did this, or I'm not offended. It's all about me. No, it's about him. And so the focus is that when we're around, what God is trying to get us to understand is that, no, when it's all focused on me, it's the wrong focus. He's saying, look, it's all about him. And when I'm focused on him, the reality is life flows in every direction. Practically, what does that look like? Well, it looks like not getting offended. It looks like forgiving. It looks like blessing. It looks like being a blessing. It looks like representing him everywhere that we go. Not putting me first, but him first. How about putting others first? How about being kind, being nice, being gentle, which the Bible tells us all those things that we should do, not to earn something, but because we're something, because we're sons and daughters of God. So that's what God is wanting us to do. He's not telling us, you know, and again, this lose your life deal. This is the word psuche, which means your mind, will, and emotions. We're not talking about eternity here. We're talking about how do you live now? So you're going to have to set your mind on things above. You're going to have to choose to be kind. You have to choose to love. You have to choose to bless and not get offended, not get upset, not get angry, not get frustrated with everything that's going on. And recognizing that we, if we are his church, with the revelation of who he is, and understanding that we're here to represent him, that, Lord, it's not my will, but your will be done. It's not about me and my desires. It's about your will. I'm here as an ambassador for Christ. And that's what 2 Corinthians actually says. We're ambassadors for Christ. So I want to pray for us. I want to pray that God would help us to really understand that the church of Jesus Christ is a living organism. It's not a building. It's not a place we go meet. And I'm not against meeting, so please don't hear me. We need to meet. We need to gather together. We need to be associated. But we need a higher revelation of church. We need a understanding that you're either in the church or you're not in the church. It's not whether you attend the church. It's whether you're in Christ or you're not in Christ. So, Father, we love you and we bless you and we thank you. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to have a revelation of who you really are. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to see you as the King Eternal, the Lord God Almighty, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You are the resurrected King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is nothing, nothing that's not under your feet. I pray, Lord, we'd have a revelation of really who we are in you, and that you'd help us to see ourselves as sons and daughters of the Most High God. And I pray, Lord, you would help us to be focused on you and to represent you here on earth as it is in heaven. That's what you told us to pray, that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done on earth. So, Lord, help us to come in agreement with that. Help us to really be your church and not just go to a meeting. Help us to be part of your living organism and help us to be people that make a difference in this world. Help us to quit living for ourselves. And, Lord, help us to live for you. Help us to live for others and not just living for ourselves. So, Father, we love you. We bless you. We thank you. Wow, we are so blessed. Thank you, thank you, thank you for calling us sons and daughters. We love you, we bless you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening. I pray that it will make a difference in your life, that you really be at church and not just go to a meeting. God bless you.